Last week we shared in some areas of the Bible and scriptures, and you know, Noah and the flood and Moses going through the promised land or getting to the promised land, the 40 years. 40 years, you know, shepherding, 40 years going through the desert. Just Moses' life was incrementally in 40-year increments. It's interesting if you go back and look at Moses. And so, you know, we are looking at scriptures about that, and that it's either 40 days, 40 years, you know. For us today, we would probably want it to be done in like 40 seconds. But it's best to wait. And I think what we find in a lot of the things in scriptures is that God uses those times, 40 days, 40 years, whatever the case might be, to try us, to perfect us. And we left off into that of the New Testament of Jesus. Here was talking about in, well, I got to flip back there, Satan tempting Jesus after he was coming out of the water with that of the Spirit had fallen on him or come to him. And now the next thing that God placed him into was going into 40 days of testing and trials and having the devil just try to hammer him with trying to have him follow him, the devil, and not that of God the Father. And I think we find that in our lives where the devil would love for you to follow him, the devil. And he will tempt you, and he will try you, and he will entertain you, and he will put thoughts in you, and he will schmooze you a little bit to make you feel good, and then he will show these things to you. Each one of us has probably gone through our own 40 days or 40 nights or whatever it is of some testing of times. But Jesus, if we can look at him as our follower, or our example, I should say, and we're following him, is that we want to deal with that of Satan like Jesus did. And I know I've had some people always in the past really wanted to get into how to battle the demons or how to battle Satan and what's the formula and all these things. And all I could follow, and it finally just came to me, is, well, all I read my Lord doing was say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Can we say that today? Get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus did not expend a lot of energy. Now, he was going through the wilderness, 40 days, no food. He was wearing down. How many times did the devil wait for us to be wore down before he begins to address us and to accost us and to try to cause us to cast everything away from that of God and what God has for us, to go with him, because it's all right here. I'll give you all this, you know, as what Satan was telling that to that of Jesus. It says in Matthew 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led into that time of the wilderness by who? The devil? No, the Spirit. God led him by Spirit. The Spirit, the very Spirit that as he was baptized, you know, Jesus, he says, when he had been baptized, just before that, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly the voice has come from that of heaven, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased in him." Then Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, when we look at those things, we know Jesus is God incarnate and that of flesh. Jesus is that of God, but he came in flesh to be tempted and tried like any one of us that are in flesh, right? That's why he can say by his word that he was tempted in every way that man is tempted, but he without sin. And so he knows those things that we go through. But we've got to be careful that as we get into these times of where we're at and whatever wilderness we're into, sometimes we might call about going around the mountain a few times or whatever the case might be. It's learning experiences. It's time for testing. It's time for you to get yourself prepared for even greater things. Didn't God have greater things for Jesus to do once he came out of those 40 days? And he did. It was very short-lived as we look at it. What was he? Around 30, 31, he comes into that of his reign of ministry that God had for him. And within about a three-year span, all that he did was phenomenal. But just think if he would have remained, what more could have been done? But thank God he died for our sins. But he's there at the right hand of God, and there's greater things. Jesus, he said, greater works you will do than I. And so we have that mandate today that we are going to do greater things because of why? Because of the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is leading us. The Holy Spirit is teaching us. The Holy Spirit is bringing back to remembrance those things that we read in scriptures, those things that God has showed us maybe in our dreams and our visions. And whether you're young or old, we're dreaming, we're having visions and all these things. But God is touching us. Where we had spoke before, when Jesus was walking this earth, he could only touch those lives where he was personally at. And now that he is gone and the Holy Spirit is here, he's everywhere. And that's what's so wonderful when we hear of the atrocities that are going on in America, around the world, that we can pray for God's presence to be there, to be there, to be there, to be there, to touch those, to touch them, to help them, to go there. And that's because of the Holy Spirit in us that we can pray and intercede for those things. But here again, getting back, you know, the 40 days that he was out there. And then we look at our time of today and our lives personally, kind of go back and maybe look at some areas of ministries and things that you've been a part of. I didn't go back through the times of our church and try to put it in my calendar form. Like, well, I wonder what happened between, was it 40 days, 40 years, 40 weeks, 40 whatever of times, you know, that God has done some interesting things in the church here at Harvesters. But God is still here, amen? And he's doing things. And he's wanting us to pay attention to those things. It's like where it says here, he was led up by that of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and after he was hungry, now the tempter had come to him. But Jesus had the ability to ward off the tempter by using the very verbiage of God's words to speak to that of the devil. Now, you can go, and maybe you've already realized this, but in verse 6 and all that, where he says, and he says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up. You know, what's very interesting is when the devil is using the very words of God, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up. You'll find he's quoting from that of Psalms, but the one thing that the devil left out, he didn't quote it exactly in that particular area, is this. He left out this, if you go back into the Psalms where this is talked about. He left out, to keep you in all of your ways. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He just left that out and says, he will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up. The God that we serve, by that of the Holy Spirit, if we are hooked into him and following him on a daily, hourly, second-by-second stand, we're going to find that the Lord will keep you in all of your ways. And what ways? All of your ways. Basically, my way is whose way? His way. If we surrender ourselves, our will, our plan, our life, what we want to do over to him, it soon becomes his way in your life. And as you follow him to that, he will prepare the way. He will be with you in that way. He will give you strength to go through those things. It's in your way. He will bring you through it, over it, below it, around it, whatever he will do. He will perform it for you. Amen. Just like he did for Jesus. But now we're looking at us. We're looking at a church. We're looking at our times that we have. And we're looking at, we thought we could be phenomenally more of this or more of that or bigger here or doing this or reaching here or going there. Oh, 40 years is a long time to do a lot of stuff. And in those 40 years, we have done a lot of stuff. Last week I shared about different outreaches and different things that we were a part of and the groups and things that we had out in our community as far as the church outside the four walls with home groups and things, whether it was in Beloit, Milton, Janesville, Whether it was for seniors or adults or children or youth, we had all of those things developed and taking place. And that was a time and that was a season. That was the thing that God was doing at that time. The thing is where we are at as a church is the same as where you are at individually. And in God's word, he says, in all things be worried? No. In all things be content. In these things, be content where you're at. Don't become complacent to where you're saying, well, I'm here and I'm not going to worry about going anywhere else. But where God has us and has you and has your family, has whatever the case is, has you and your level of ministry, he is just saying, my son, my daughter, Harvesters Church, be content where you're at. Because we're still in his grace. We're still in his hands. We are still his. Why is that? Because we continue, I as pastor, continually turn this work over to him on an ongoing basis. When I think things are kind of struggling here and there, remember about 3 months back, or now 4 months, I had a time with the Lord out back, and I just gave all this to him again. And I said, Lord, this whole church is yours again. I'm sorry if I took it. It's always been yours. And Lord, I ask for you to do with what you want, Sunday mornings, Thursdays, children's, outreaches, whatever the case is, Lord, everything currently that we're doing, it's all in your hands. And I believe, Lord, and I trust you that you will multiply or use what we're doing. You will fine-tune it. And I even said this, that if it is not in your plan and it's not where we're to be at this time, you will shut it down. And I told him that. I said, Lord, if you said, Tim, shut down Sunday mornings, I would say, hey, guess what, guys? Now, this is going to be kind of strange, but the Lord said, no more Sunday mornings. It might be Sunday afternoon. Could be Monday. I don't know. But that's my heart intent. And when I get close to my Father, is to say, it's yours. I'm not walking away from it. Don't walk away from where God has you. Be content. But don't be trying to grab at things to try to make things work, because then you're doing it on man's ways, man's abilities. And I'm going to tell you, when man does those things, they may do well for a season. But lo and behold, all of a sudden, especially when everything seems to be going well, pew, things fall out. And all of a sudden, you're just in despair. Like, oh, what happened now? You know? And so we always want to keep our work as a corporate body before that of God, and for God to have his way. I personally say, Lord, I am yours. I want to do what you want me to do personally and how I can be of help and assistance personally. But above everything else, I know he wants us to always praise and worship him. We were created to praise him. He wants to hear the praises of his people. But I'm going through a hard time. It's been 40 years, 40 weeks, 40 days. I'm going through a hard time. Praise him and worship him and forget about the troubles and put your heart and your mind and your desires or whatever back up to him. And then all these things too shall be added unto you, his word tells us. Not to worry about tomorrow. Don't think about your past. Just focus on today. The world doesn't want you to focus on the day. The world, the God of this world, wants you to think about your future. Oh, how are you going to make it? How's that going to work? How's that going to develop? Or if he can't get you worried about the future, he's going to say, what about that past that you had? Anybody been there? Has it just been me that the devil speaks to these things, or are you guys all pretty well elevated up? The devil will just continue to banter you and begrudge you and just tell you all that he can to get you disassociated with the association with God. Hallelujah, because God has a plan. I think the thing up here, I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah. Whenever I felt kind of between and betwixt with the things of going on and where is this and how is this happening, somehow, some way, the Lord will bring to me somehow, well, he's God, he does it all, right? But he will bring these things that will reaffirm. The Lord always will reaffirm his love for you. Do we reaffirm our love for him? That's probably something we ought to take a note on that. Here again, in some of my times and here and there, is just that Jeremiah and that whole process will come up in some kind of a daily devotional or some kind of a little thing that comes through on a blurb, and or else I'll hear it on some kind of a ministry on TV that we're watching on a particular Sunday or something like that. And every time I hear Jeremiah, my ears go, psh, because that's the book. And then 29, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 is what spoke to me and put me in that path of what God had and has for me now. And me means also my wife. We go together. And so we went through these things, and now I'm sharing 40 days in that of the wilderness. And then let us jump. And then we look at in Acts 1:7, but also in Acts 1:3. 1:3, Acts 1:3, it just says this: to whom he also presented himself. This is the until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Then verse 3, Acts 1:3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 40 days, 40 of this, and it's just interesting. And so he was there for 40 days. But then you jump into 1:7, and he says unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has in his own authority. And then that put me into times, knowing that of the times. And so that's where it brings us to today. Time. I remember one time back, it's been several years now, I heard a song and talking about that of time. And I was thinking about that with God. And then, you know, my old secular side came out, my flesh, and there was that song back in the day where time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Da 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 da. Man, because I was talking to God, I said, man, Lord, just time is just going. And all of a sudden I hear it's slipping. Time is slipping. We know that we're getting closer to the end, but I'm not going to worry about the end. Because what did he say? Just worry about today. Just be ready, for that'll come like that of a thief in the night. Just be ready. Be prepared. Be prepared and be found doing what the Lord has instructed you to do. If you're doing that, it's all going to be good. It's like Allenbach and cheese. It's all good, man. There we go. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. Just somehow these, it must be these radio frequencies going through here or something like that. I get somehow the word comes out. It's all good, man. It's all good. I'm going to tell you, it is all good. Amen. Hallelujah. If only they'll have the curd burger in heaven. Not that I've had it. I can't see eating a big cheese curd that big on a man. But anyway, the curd burger, that's kind of like a code word. You go to heaven and there's anybody from Wisconsin in that area that's there, that's part of your family, whatever, or friends, if they say, hey, the curd burger, you'll know, hey, you are a Wisconsinite. But now it's nationwide. But time keeps on slipping. But it's okay. As we continue to work and do the things that the Lord has put before us to do. Now, there's two ways of looking at time. Chronos, which is where we get that word chronological or chronology, and chronic or chronicles. That's where we get chronic. You know, we have chronic problems, chronic pains, and those things. It's just a continuation. Chronos is a duration of time which may be a point, a lapse, a span, a period, a stretch, a quantity, a measure, and there's a lot here, a duration or a length. So when we hear chronos, chronological, chronology, maybe a point, a lapse, a span, a period of time, a stretch of time, the quantity of time. Now notice this to the other word we go to, this is quantity. The quantity, the measure, duration, or length. We get into keros, And that comes to a meaning of the opportune time. It comes to a set time, an appointed time, a due time. Kairos is a definitive time, a seasonable time. It's the proper time for action. So kairos describes a kind or quality of time. Quality of time, amen? Chronos denotes extent or quantity. The amount of time is one thing, but during that amount of time, what is the quality of time within that span? That's where when you speak of, boy, that was a kairos time. That was like a minute time within that time that we're in that was very monumental at that point in time. It was a quality of time, a kind of time. It's a due time, a definitive time. It was a proper time. It was something that happened during that chronological time. The church, we're chronologically like 40 years, okay? The beginning and the end for this point has been 40 years, and we continue on. But there has been, I get these words when I get trying to keep them going, kairos. We've had several kairos times within those 40 years, right, Dan? We've had specific things that happened that would say, wow, man, that was an appointed time at Harvester's Church, or back then, for believers' faith. That was a definitive time for believers' faith back in that chronological of 10 years, 30 years, now we're at 40 years. When we look at time and think about what God has planned out or has in store for individuals as well as for his churches, we understand that, guess what? Nothing new. He's in control. The fulfillment of time is important because it shows God's sovereign control of time in order to bringing his promises and plans to fruition or completion. God's sovereign control. He is controlling the time. Amen? It's all in his hands. It's in order to be bringing his promises and plans to fruition or completion. It's his plan, not my plan. For the Lord knows me, and he will give me, Jeremiah, you know, the desires of my heart. He will promote or help me. He will not fail me or leave me. He's got plans for us to prosper, okay, to succeed. He's got plans for your individual life to prosper, to succeed, not to fail. He's got plans to a church to prosper and to succeed. Now, the church, and there's seasons of times and all that, but we can go through a lot of things, and if we don't remain as the church of his, solely like on him only, kind of like back 2 months back now, I said, to where maybe a pastor or leadership in those churches, if they don't at times go to that point of a come to Jesus meeting and to say, it's all yours, God. You know, I got to take my keys out, put them back on the table, you know, well, I want to get them out of my pocket, and say, this is all yours. Have it. If you want to close it down, close it down. If you want to do this, do this, do it. But that's where it's a sincerity of heart, and you've got to mean it here, right? We were talking back in Sunday school at times about how we go through repetitions and saying things, but we just say it just to say it, not really meaning it, but it sounds good. But if we really say it and mean it here, that's what God wants. Whatever you tell him, whatever you share with him, whatever you talk to him about, and when you surrender or do or they or this or say this or whatever, mean it from here, because he already knows your heart. You're not gonna shine him on, okay? We may think we do, like, ooh, I got away with that. No. There'll be a time and a season coming back to where you will go before him and repent and say, oh Lord, I guess I didn't really mean that. And he'll go, I know. I heard it, but he brought you around that mountain to say, okay, what are you gonna do with it? Well, what does his word say to do? Quickly repent. Quickly get it out of you. If we can quickly do these things, then we get placed back into that thing with what God is doing. And until we repent, until we come to meeting with Jesus meeting type thing, we will be right where we're at until we learn what he's trying to teach us, because he loves us so much that he wants to get us cleaned up even more and more, you know, not my righteousness, his righteousness in me. He wants that more and more in our lives more than we want it. But it's where we want to that point of our mind, we renewing of our mind and these things, that we desire, I want more of you, less of me. I want more of you and less of this world. I want everything, Lord, what your kingdom holds for me. And I don't want anything that the kingdom of this world has. Because this world is falling away. This world is dying. This is all perishing. But those things in his kingdom remain forever. So, the fulfillment of time is important because it shows God's sovereign control to bring his promises and plans to completion. It is only the Lord who knows the times and the seasons for fulfillment. We read that concept in Acts 1 and 7, where I say it, and he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Or we can look at that of 1 Thessalonians 5:1. I don't know if I had that here. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Oh, I had it marked here. But concerning the times, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We talked about this Thursday. I think John was sharing quite a bit about the labor pains and things that the women and how the birthing and how that tells you that something is coming, that of a child. But it says, but concerning the times. Now that's the times that we get caught into. Let's see here. 5:1. That time there, but concerning the times, that reverts back to like the time that was used like in Acts 1:7. That time in 1:7 talked about, and it is not for you to know the times. This is the time, that is the chronos, chronological, chronology. So this is the time that may be a point, a lapse, a span, a period, a stretch, a quantity, a measure, a duration. We don't know the duration of what we're going to go through until he comes back. We just know he says, I'm coming back. So this is speaking of chronos. Like that of chronology or chronicle. It suggests a kind of time. Chronos tells what day it is, okay? Chronos will tell us what day it is. Kairos tells us of a special happening occurring during the time frame of that. I think even in our daily walk with him, we will have, Chronos, we've got this span of time he's in our life, and here again, I share it again, but there might be something specifically happening on a particular day that was just really right there. That's a charis. That's a charis time, a quality of time. That's that due time. There's been in your life, in your prayer time, there's probably been, and I know if I open this up and ask, there's been at times a definitive time and a day during your time of prayer that you know, right, Don, that God said something. God gave you something. That was that definitive time right there, charis. And so we walk through this life with two types of time. The span of length of 40 years, and here in the 40 years of our church, there's been specific times. Okay, we've all heard a wonderful testimony, because it's so powerful about, you know, when Pastor Hoblett was here and we talked about financial things for the church and how wouldn't it be great, Lord? And I've been to Pastor Hoblett and I went back and I found it in my computer that I had put a thing out, 4138 West Cemetery Road, matched address, location with the WGS-84. It says this, latitude 42.621009, longitude minus 0.89 point, longitude, latitude, where this place was at in the globe. So that was back on May the 25th of 2006. May in 2006, I had no idea that July of 2006, pastor was retiring. The Lord, I feel, prompted me to take this to Pastor back in April-ish, probably April I was talking to him. I said, Pastor, we got so much land here. Cell towers are coming into being. We ought to contact like a carrier and see if they'd be interested because there could be some income off of it. Blah, 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 blah. We never pursued that, but I did go to the point of putting a little documentation together to send to a cell company. Anyway, our longitude and latitude. So that, I put this together April the 25th, 2006 is on my computer. Pastor went on vacations and down south in June, come back in July, I'm going back down, or June he was, and then like I said, July of 2006, July the 1st, he resigned as of the end of June. July 1st, I step into this as the pastor. And that was of that of 2006, of July of 2006. So, okay, I jump in the seat now. I'm the pastor. I came down here many times, very humble, to walk into this, to see everything the way it was, to walk into this as what it is. I received a letter back on May. So I put this in my computer, May 25th, 2006. I get a letter from a gentleman that's doing cell tower acquisitions for a particular company, U.S. Cellular. The letter is dated 5/4/2008, May 2008. Interesting, huh? Charis, definitive times of God doing something. Did I really know it all? Chronologically, it's fitting in the span of here to here, 40 years. But 2006, Charis times, definitive, appointed times, set. God has something for you, for all of us. And God's time is a set time. We get so wrapped up in the chronological things, like it's going too long. It's taking too long. What is going on? It's taking too long to get here. It's got to be faster. But we don't realize that in this time, wherever we're at, there's a specific tune happens. You got to remember it. Something happens. You got to remember it. It's God showing you specific things that he's got planned if you just be content, if you just do what you're doing, just loving him, serving him, doing what he's wanting you to do. Guess what'll happen? God does what? He takes care of the rest. I don't care if it's the church or your personal life, your family, whatever it is, you turn it over to him. So I get this letter, and I didn't bring it here, but it was this gentleman write this one-page letter about this whole thing, about their interest in this land. We got an opportunity. He called me on the phone. I was driving. I can tell you, I was driving into the drive-up of Johnson Bank to drop off the deposit bag when I get this call, and I'm talking to him, and I thought he wanted to plant crops out here. But he says what it was about. And it's like, cell tower? Ooh, ooh, wow, okay. I think it's a little bit better than crops. But now I fast forward, and we got crops out here. So anyway, there's another story. There's another Charis time. I mean, God is so good. And that's why, you know, you're saying, well, how can a pastor, when you're looking at this, and its numbers are down, and this is looking at this, because I'm not looking at the numbers, I'm looking at what my God is doing, amen? And how my God sustains what he wants. I cannot sustain this under my power, under my strength. I cannot even sustain this under my knowledge because I'm just clueless like you guys until I get enlightened by the Holy Spirit reading his scripture that we can bring these things out to bring a help and a hope and a direction to God's people. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. So anyway, we get that. So at this point in time, we are in our 15th year. 2023 is our 15th year of that cell tower. And the lease goes for 25 years, so we only got 10 years left. But they've already contacted me 5 months ago asking they would like to put that thing kind of like renewed indefinitely. But I said, is there an additional income off of that? And what is his guess, or what is his response from U.S. Cellular? Well, no, we don't really adjust anything. We just keep it as it is. Oh, no. My spirit says, we ain't going to go there, Jack. And when I start going to negotiations for God's property, I tell them I'm serving my boss, and my boss is God. And God will give me the things to say. He will give me the things to approach. They wanted to start off at $700 a month. It's non-negotiable. I was cleaning. These are these Kairos moments, or Kairos. Okay, I was at the drive-thru. Boom, huh? Kairos, thank you. Kairos. When I say that K word, you say it, okay? K, Kairos. I was at the drive-thru. Guy calls me. Okay, I'm cleaning the urinals in the bathroom. God speaks to me. Tell them to start it at 900, because they remember, they said, oh, they don't negotiate. That's pretty well. If you don't take it, they'll move. There's another field right down the road from you, same place. They'll go there, where they can find it. I said, okay, God, 900. What am I going to do? And he says, you tell them why they need to put it here. So I did that. I said, well, here's we're interested as a church to pursue it, but here's our stipulations, and if you don't want to agree with it, we can just let it go. Hey, guys, God brings it. He can take it. We're not going to fight for it. My battle is done by that of God. And when God tells you things, it just requires us to go forth with the assurity that I've heard from God. So I go, well, we want to, two things. Well, one thing, we want the rent to at least start at 900. Well, I don't know. I will send it to the powers to be at U.S. Cellular. And I said, well, here's what you want to tell them. I said, I've already checked, which I did. I said, they can put a tower here as high as they want to a point. I mean, after a height, they got to put a light on it. But I said, we're not really in the flight path of Rock County Airport. Now, they zoom around here, but they don't come in. There's, if you look at Rock County Airport and the way the runways are, the tower, it's not in a direct approach. So I said, we're not in a flight path of the airport. So God tells me all these things to tell them. I don't know what I'm doing, guys. I'm just cleaning the urinal. Got my head, you know, like, phew, man, you guys are terrible. You stink. And God is doing these things. That's why I don't really mind coming out here and cleaning the church, because God speaks to me and doing things. But so I approach that. Anyway, it goes forth, and they come back, and he says, well, they accepted it. 900, 3% increase every year, blah, 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 25 years, blah, blah, blah. So now we're coming to that point, and you know, I've got his letter. I got his thing back on my desk. I'll probably maybe call him in another 5 years or whatever's going on, and we'll sit there and see where that's at. But I always tell these guys when they call, I say, well, here's what it is. Every time I open up the U.S. Cellular folder, and I was going to bring it out here, it's like this thick. I said, every time I open that up, it costs money. The world speaks like that, guys. See, the world comes into a church, and they think they're going to mull over the church because the church will roll over, and they'll just let you pet their belly like, you know? The world out there is like, we'll turn these guys over. We're gonna tell them some exciting things. Hey, we're going to give you this, and you're going to have that. Oh, isn't that fun? And a lot of churches, a lot of pastors out there would go, yeah, that's great, that's great, that's awesome. But I'm going, oh, no, no, no. I told him, everything in this world is negotiable. So we'll probably have our conversations with the guy at U.S. Cellular saying, well, if we're going to up this from another 25 years for a perpetual, I think we need to jump it up from where we're going to be, because at the end of 25 years, the church will have received about $392,000, just short of $400,000 for nothing, for part of a property out there that's not nothing but just dirt. But I think, and when God put me here, he brought me in as I left Walmart in management and understanding the management side of things and companies, that's why everything's negotiable. People out there in the business world, you talk to them. You just don't roll over and let them pet your belly and make you feel good. When we first sent that out here, probably about the first year, cell tower company calls and says, we'd love to buy out your lease. We just started it. What do you think we'll get? Oh, probably $74,000, maybe $80,000 to buy out your lease. It ain't going to happen. I think the last call I had, this is just sharing everything that we do. This is, you know, I'm not holding on to finances and keeping things secret. But I've had like Trimark and all that, these cell tower acquisition guys calling, these guys are presidents calling me, you know, I don't even return their call for like 2 months. They call and keep leaving messages. Hey, Pastor Tim, I'd just like to get a hold of you and just talk to you. We got some possible opportunities for you, blah, blah, blah. I go, yeah, been there, done that. I think our last one was like $223,000. $223,000 they would give us to buy that lease. I told one guy, I said, the longer this goes, the more we're making. I said, when we had like, you know, 22 years left on it, we were only going to get like $80,000. And now we've only got like 15 years or 12 years, and now we're getting 200 and some odd thousand more, you know. I said, I'm going to wait until about the day it's about ready to expire. You call me back and we'll talk, because it should be about $500,000 by then. Kairos. 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 I got it spelled here. I just can't pronounce it. That's all. It's K-A-I-R-O-S. Kairos. But those are definitive set times for this church. I just happen to be in the driver's seat. Well, I'm in the passenger seat. God's driving this church. I just need to go, hey, God, where are we going now? What are we going to do? So, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I don't know. So then we have a whole situation. This is like opportune times. I'm trying to just share, so many things that God is doing. So remember we had this roof put on. I've shared this many times. I'm just going to cut to the chase. They didn't stand by their warranty. We had some cuts on it. They said it was by animals or whatever. It wasn't that much. I called the powers to be here again. Now I got to take my pastor's hat off, and I'm talking it as like an officer of the church. I'm calling Firestone and talking to a big shot in Indiana. And they're going, well, the warranty doesn't cover that because it looks like it's from animal things. It's not from the nature of the rubber. I said this. I go, and it was only like $1,073. But hey, remember who I'm working for? God. I have called AT&T when our bill went up. And I said, hey, I said, I will call you and I will try to get a penny for the kingdom of God if I can. It's just the way it is. And the bills go up. I try to call them and say, we need a better price if you can, or we'll go somewhere else. Anyway, so I said, it's only $1,073, but at that time, it's like, hey. So I even tell this guy, I said, isn't Firestone a big enough corporation? Is $1,000 going to break you guys to bless us in just in case that it wasn't animals, that it was something that's out beyond our control? No, I'm sorry. Okay, so you know what? God is our provider, amen? I'm not going to go fight. I just bring it before them, share what I feel God is telling me to share, and I leave it in God's hands. And then when it came back that it didn't look like it was going to go our way, I told Dean, cut a check, send it. Oh, well, God will provide. So we cut this check in April 10th of 2007. So it's made out to the company in Rockford with the invoice number for $1,053.84. Okay. And then it wasn't until a long time after that, Dean was saying, that check has never cleared the bank. What's going on with it? I go, I don't know. I never thought about it. So I said, well, tell you what, I'll call. So I called them. And I talked to them. And they said, well, and when Dean asked that, about the day or two later, I get this envelope, which had all this on it, and this from the post office. And I don't know if you ever got one of these from the post office, but you turn over the back and goes, we care. Have you seen one of those? Yeah. We care. I want to extend my sincere apology as your plant manager for the enclosed document that was inadvertently damaged in handling by your postal service. Now it's my postal service. If it's mine, I want some free stamps. I always go in after the holidays and ask if they got Christmas stamps on clearance. They don't laugh at it no more. I don't know. I just coming out of retail, I thought anything for Christmas Santa Claus was off markdown. They don't. We are aware how important your mail is, blah, 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 we blah, 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 blah. So this comes like 2 or 3 days after Dean's asking me about the check. I go, oh, surprise, here it is. So I open it up and I'm looking, and it never cleared our bank. So I called Firestone, talking to their accounts representative and all this, and I'm explaining the whole thing, blah, 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 blah. I got I got a file. I got a file of them too back there, of all my communications and emails and stuff. And I said, could you check on our account, blah, 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 whatever, 1B1, May, YK. And what is there? Is there a balance showing on that? No, sir. Shows it's all paid. I said, are you sure? Yeah. Really sure? Well, let me check. Yes, it is paid. And I go, well, that's funny. I said, I've got our check for $1,053.84. It's been endorsed, paid to the order of Firestone Building and Products, and endorsed. But I said, there's no stamp that it ever cleared our account. It didn't go through the system. Because that's why their money is still in the account, because it didn't go through their bank to pull it out. I said, I'm holding a check to you that's not showing that it's been cleared by your bank. It's just, I shared exactly what's on it. Well, I can't tell you any more than that. Call tomorrow and talk to our head accounts rep, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Next day, I call down there, doing my due diligence because I want to be truthful and honest. I'm not trying to hide money from people. If we owe it, we owe it. We'll pay it, we'll pay it. So I'm talking out to this lady that's in the head of that. I explain the whole thing to her again. Well, no, it shows that it's cleared. There's no debt. There's no, it's paid in full. Jesus paid in full our salvation. And so I explained the whole thing to her. I'm holding the check. It's not cleared. Blah, blah, blah. I got it in the mail. It came through the post office that they had damaged the initial letter. Are you sure? Okay. So, no, sir. It's paid. There is no amount due. Now, this is only $1,053. So it's not going to make or break us, right? But for a small church, it does. It's important. But it's not just the amount. It's just the being due diligent with honoring God. We're not here to take things away from people or try to get a deal. There's times I don't really go in when I want to buy something for the church. I don't ask. I say, well, it's for the church. Can you give us a deal? If I tell them it's for a church and they go, oh, we might be able to give you a discount or something. Okay, we'll take it. But I'm not going to twist their arm. Why? God's my provider. God didn't tell us to come down here and mooch off of the people and try to chastise them into giving us something. It's like, hey, I serve the King. Hallelujah. He'll provide it. So anyway, we got that. And after I'd done that second call with that person, I was sitting at my desk back in the office, and the Spirit of God came on me. And God says this to Tim. Tim, I'm blessing my church. Why are you trying to give them back the money that I'm giving you? Louise, that's a big one. I'm coming to see you. Anybody remember Efren son or whatever, whatever her name was. The Lord spoke to me. God, and as he says, Tim, I am blessing my church. Receive it as a blessing from me. Fine. I heard from my Lord. Done. But in talking about times and how times go, it takes time. Things take time to go through and develop. So it says, like, this is going back to the cellular site. So it says, okay, the letter is to serve as a notice exercising our ground lease dated June 6th of 2008. The lease will commence on January the 15th of 2009, etc. So things take time. Things have to work through the process of things. Man and the systems that man works on is like that. God is like that. So we have to just go with him, trust him, and that he will bring it about if it's to be. Amen? Now, I don't have the documentation on this, but I know I got two furnaces, or we've got two furnaces in this church that we've never paid for that I'm aware of, because I know we didn't cut a check, and I asked Dan many times, Dan, did you pay it out of your fund money? But evidently not, but it's like, we even had a problem with one of the furnaces with the error of the heat exchanger going bad. And I thought, well, this is what, they're going to nail us now because they're going to go through the records going, that bill has never been paid. What do you mean you got that? But bless their hearts, they even replaced two heat exchangers because they had problems with them. And it's like, well, I'm sure they're going to catch their errors now and we'll pay it. You know, it was like, I don't know what it was, per furnace was like $1,300 or $1,500, something like that per furnace. But those are that of God. And so see, when I sit here and I get kind of like, oh, well, Lord, Go out, sit on my bench, look at the cell tower, look at the corn. And then God starts to say, it's still mine. Just continue to do what I've asked you to do. Now, Kairos is found in just Colossians 4, 5. If you want to find that as an example for that defined time, Colossians 4, 5 is that. And you know what it speaks to? So this is speaking of this time frame of an appointed time, set time, due time, seasonable time, or a proper time for action, Kairos. In Colossians 4, 5, this is what he says. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, doing what? Redeeming that opportune time, that set time, appointed time, due time. So there's a specific time. We got to redeem those times. But how we do it was we walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside of the kingdom, redeeming those times. So as God walks with us through all of these things, I see his hand in so many places. And God is so good, amen? So good. I'm starting to find out, I went as far as back as way back, going back through all the records, and when the numbers were like, 120, 150, 90, whatever, and the amount and the average given per person, the average actually shows higher giving with less than with more. Now, you might get more because numbers per se, but if you look at the average that people are giving, it seems like with the lower numbers that we were, that God is moving us down to, the averages are still good, and there's things being taken care of. And God said that he would pay off this note before the end of the period of time. I share this and I'll close. It's a little after 12. Because I felt when I got a hold of the reins of this, after a few years, I said, Lord, we're a small body. I've got it all written down in a timetable. When we came in as the pastor, how many thousands and hundreds of thousands were due on this building. But we made a conscious effort ourselves because we could streamline a lot of expenses. Because here again, streamline it, cut, I'm going to save a nickel, save a penny, whatever I can. We began to pay as much as we could towards the note, taking down the interest faster. But I said, Lord, I believe you're going to pay this off before we pay it off. I just believe it. I felt in my spirit. And I said, I believe. And he spoke to me one time saying, I will bring finances into my church through the P.O. box. And throughout our season, we've had finances come through the P.O. box. We've had people that no longer attend or whatever would send finances at that time for the food pantry just to be a blessing. Well, lo and behold, we held the cell tower. Well, the cell tower, what does? It comes through the P.O. box. There's finances I will bring through the post office box. That company that I'm a part of, that I own, I guess, because it's your company. when they said that in that letter. Your company. Your post office. And I thought, okay, Lord, you're going to bring finances through that post office. This building is going to be paid off ahead of time. Well, I went through that for a season or two or three or four, okay? And now I'm looking at the note, and I'm looking how soon it's going to be paid off in just months, now we're within months. And I sat before my Lord one time, and I said, Lord, I always say, Lord, maybe I misunderstood you. Maybe it wasn't me hearing properly. But I sure thought you would pay off the church before Johnson Bank would say, this is your final payment. Thank you. But you'll provide. It's taken off. It's taken care of. Lo and behold, within about 4 months of us being paid off, I think, gentleman took us out to lunch. Everything happens at lunch. Anybody want to take me to lunch today? Pastor says, are you ready to be a pastor? Oh, yeah, sure. Went to lunch with this couple after we got done. Here again. Kairos time. It was Texas Roadhouse. Do you guys do this in your walk with God? When things have happened, do you remember where you're at? Maybe it's just me, but I do. It's the Spirit. Pay attention, Tim. Pay attention. So we go out. We have a lovely meal at Texas Roadhouse. We're all done. And Dean's across from me. His wife is next to her. He's next to me. Everything's good. You know, you can't go to Texas Roadhouse and have a bad meal. I mean, just the rolls. Well, heaven, I'm in heaven. Is there going to be a Culver's and a Texas Roadhouse? It doesn't matter, but there's going to be a buffet. And all of a sudden, slides this envelope over to me. Says, here, this is for the church. Oh, really? Oh, wow, thank you, name. And we didn't open it there, did we, Dean? You know, you don't. You say, thank you. That's awesome. God bless you guys. So we have our goodbyes. We're in the car. And I think Dean does open it at that time. And guess what it did? Paid off the remaining balance of this church before the due actual date on the contract. God says, Tim, I will pay that before it is due at the bank on their ledger. But I began to have, as we all do, I'm flesh. Okay, Lord, I thought this was going to happen like 2 or 3 years ago. Now we're getting down, down, down. But I stand before you to say, God is faithful to his word, because he brought in a finance that took care of the debt and a little extra over that to take the bill payment to zero, to where we became debt free. But God fulfilled his promise to me. He will fulfill his promise to you. I just want to encourage you that when these set times, special times, divine times, that you remember those things, that you can recall, because guess what? We go into another time of testing and seasons of things, and we begin to go, well, I just don't know. Hey, what about this? What about that? What about this? And we felt so blessed that this family that wanted to use our land for the crops, it's like, you guys can plant whatever you want. I don't even want to write a lease to you, because I don't want to deal with the paperwork. You just use it as long as you want. If we have plans for it, I'll let you know ahead of time, and not to let you plant the next season. I'll make sure you get your crops out so you don't lose anything. It's just a workman's, it's just a honest type working thing. And I said, we're not going to lease it to you. I don't know what you'd want to give for it. I'm not going to deal with it. But if you want to bless the Lord's house, feel free to bring a love offering. So here again, the Lord has blessed us with something that was being used for nothing. You know, maybe once a year we get $300, $500, whatever the case is, but we weren't not getting anything anyway, so that is a help and a benefit. But every time I talk to that family, I say, we pray over your crops for you to have a yield that's higher than anyone else that you've got, amen? Because you're on God's property. We claim this as God's kingdom here. You step into this 10 acres, the church has 10 acres here, it's all ours, that this is not ours, it's his, but it's his kingdom on this earth, and we're going to do with it, protect it, and do what he wants with it. But anything that comes, we're going to, if you plant corn out there, I believe it's in the heaven kingdom that God will multiply it out. And he's had some good crops out there for what, you know, we're 10 acres, so they got maybe 6 acres planted or 5 acres, I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, and I always told him, I said, we're praying for it. It's a blessing from God. We're not expecting anything for it. We're praying over it. And I said, I'm sure God is wanting you to say, you could probably use some extra finances in your family to help with other needs of a farmer, to take care of equipment or to do whatever. And a lot of this feed out here, corn, is used for cattle because they got dairy cattle, so that saves money on having to buy feed and all that. So they're saving, blah, blah, blah. It's a win-win for them. And for us, with God, in our walk with God, as a child with God, we walk a win-win life. Amen? Amen? You've got to believe that, and you've got to get that into your spirit, that we win-win no matter what. We take out early of death, we have eternity in heaven. If we're here on this earth, I'm going to be blessed. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, he is God. Wow! It's exciting. I tell you what, it's exciting. But I would encourage you, when God does special things in your life and family and personal life, you remember where you're at. He has yet to fail this church, which is his church, Believers Faith Fellowship, Harvesters Church, you, whatever name you want to put on it, it's His. Amen. That's why we should be encouraged and excited and happy and go, go, go. Hey, hallelujah, Lord. And we want to continue on to those things. I was talking to John, I think. I said, you know, I can't wait until, like, we get past the 40 years. The next year out, I want to say this is the first year of us. Because we've gone through a season of 40 years. Like Moses. Like, okay. Moses spent those early years shepherding and working. And then the second 40 years, he was helping lead the people. You know? Now, I just want to stay, you guys stay close to him because I don't want to be taken out because he says, Moses, you're not going to inherit the promised land because you people, these people are not going to get there, nor are you. I want to go there, guys, so please, please, please stay true to God. And I'm trying to do that myself, too. But it's like, okay, Lord, what's the second 40? He's got plans. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you for your timing, for your appointed time. Lord, we're living in a time from it started back in 83 to now we're at 2023. That's a chronological time of 40 years. But there's been Kairos times, Lord, throughout this entire time, Lord, that have been very specific to your ministry and times upon Harvesters or Believers Faith Fellowship Church. And Lord, we continue to follow that and allow you to have your way. And Lord, I thank you for keeping us all encouraged. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you've got planned. Thank you, Lord, for greater things are yet to be done. There's a song out there, greater things in the city. There's greater things and even greater things, even for Harvesters Church. Lord God, I want to just be found faithful with what you want us to do and how we want to serve you and bring people to a relationship with you, Father God. Thank you for sustaining us all of these years, and for those that have stood by us for these years, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for their prayer support and their financial support and just their friendship, Father God, to give us encouragement. And Lord, we continued on. We are not done yet. It is only over, Lord, when you say it is over. Seasons, Lord, like Ecclesiastes, Lord, there's seasons of times. And Lord, we are just going to go through them. And we're just going to trust you, Father God, for everything. And we love you now. Woo. In Jesus' name, amen.